Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Great performances begin with a comfortable close shave from Gillette. Gillette, making men's lives just that little bit easier. Game on. Soccer.
It's a busy night of football tonight. Not too many big games, but plenty of games all the same. And it's the last night of the group stages. And I think from an Irish perspective, there is a lot of people going to be watching the Tottenham Hotspur game because there are suggestions that Troy Parrott might get on.
That'd be brilliant, wouldn't it?
I think it would. Yeah, like it's... We spoke so much about Mourinho and what he'd do when he came in with the younger players, and we've seen him bring on Parrott only for 5 minutes, but still, at least he got his Premier League debut. We're going to actually hear a clip now from Jose Mourinho about staying focused.
We are going to focus more on us than on Bayern. We are going to try to develop our model of play. Of course, with different bodies, with different faces, with different players, but there is a certain way that we try to play football and to try to develop our principles of play, and we are totally focused on us and less on Bayern. One thing that I'm not having is time, and when I say time, I say also time to know my players well, and this is also a great opportunity for some of them to play. For some of them to show what they're capable of.
Okay, that was Jose speaking about tonight's big game, and we're delighted to be joined by Paul Curry, ex-Sheffield Wednesday. And Paul, how are you getting on?
Yeah, really good, guys. Really, really good.
Can I ask a question before we get into it? We saw a different side of Ruby Walsh tonight. Last night, he had a hairbrush. Any of your teammates ever take out something odd that you're just going, what?
Careful now.
Okay, we're being careful, but like, as if Bosco's listening, but like, something that you're just going, what the?
There would be a queue for the hairdryer after training.
A hairdryer?
Honestly, yeah. And this is football now, football dress rooms, and the hair comes after the full body moisturising. Like, it's unbelievable. There'd be people there, and you'd be thinking they'd be going off to get their nails done, it's that bad.
Yeah.
Now, I haven't gone quite to that extreme, yeah, but I do own a hairbrush. I do.
I'd
be the first person to admit it.
I don't.
What do you do? You have so much hair.
I just kind of like use my hands when I put in like Dax. I kind of give it a good old rub.
And my housemate plays with Sean McRovers, and he uses my hairbrush.
No way.
Yeah.
Who is it?
Oh, I can't say.
There's no real teammate.
We're going to name.
I remember Rala, though, on one of the Lions tour, one of the Welsh lads asked, had he, what are they called? The THG or what?
GHD.
There you go. One of those.
Yeah. They're a hair straightener for anyone who doesn't know what a GHD is.
Either
is there one in your house, Paul?
No, there's not. The worst thing now that I think about it, I've seen, is tinted moisturiser.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I wouldn't know anything about that, but we are really interested if a few of your teammates have a few peculiar things for getting themselves groomed. 51552, or you can WhatsApp us on 087-187-9200.
Manchester City are trailing Dinamo Zagreb 1-0. Not that it really matters because they're already through.
No, I can't imagine they're going to be too concerned. That said, though, they did put out quite a strong team.
They're probably trying to bounce back after their tough week.
Yeah, he's probably trying to get maybe a bit of consistency and a bit of fluidity back into the team. And I read, one of the team members had said that they sort of lost their confidence. So I think when you lose your confidence, the best thing to do is try regain that as quickly as possible. So
I'd say it'd be hard to get your confidence back under Pep. I don't know why.
Because he's so intense.
Yeah.
And I've heard a few people say that they look a bit jaded this season.
Mentally.
And then is that the reason to rest them up tonight? You know, could you give them... I know you need confidence, but it's a dead rubber match, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a dead rubber, and they're through irrespective. So maybe he's experimenting a couple of things and a couple of personnel. But I would say if you gave him the option of winning or losing, he would most certainly take winning because there's such a big gap in the league in particular that they need to get right. But they haven't travelled well at any point since Pep's gone in the Champions League. So that would be something that would concern him.
Just your point on it there, Marie. Like, is he so intense that it kind of comes to that point that it's nearly rubbing off on the lads, that they're nearly tired of it, you know? That.
Yeah, and he's not spent a huge amount of time outside of Barcelona with any one club, and there was this kind of debacle about whether he was going to stay on with Manchester City, but it does seem as if he's there for the long term. But yeah, maybe there is a case, you know, people are talking about Ireland rugby and the intensity of Joe Schmidt. So maybe when you have an intense character like that, maybe it is a certain sort of shelf life, the likes of a Jose Mourinho, where after 3-4 years, players maybe start to get a bit jaded of it. But I think he's alluded to the fact that the likes of David Silva are coming to the end of his career. Fernandinho's coming into his end of the career. So they probably just need to freshen up maybe two or three faces. I don't think Pep's going to be going anywhere too soon.
They're probably looking at Liverpool as well, and Klopp, and the way that he treats his players and how personable he is as well. And
everyone just wants a hugger now, don't they?
That's
what it is. Yeah, isn't it though, Paul? Like, it's man management is so different now. It's like the dictatorships don't seem to work, you know. It's one to one. You need to.
Well, Pep. The thing about Pep is Pep seems to have a really good relationship with his players, and you don't necessarily hear many players who have played under Pep say too many negative things about him. The other thing that could have drained Man City players is just the nature of Liverpool's results and the fact that they've scored a lot of late goals.
They're fed up. Is that what you're saying?
Not fed up, but you know when you feel as if you're just getting a bit closer to them, or you're looking at a game you've played earlier on, or you're playing the next day and you're watching the Liverpool game and they've just been finding ways to win games, and through, you know, luck at times, of course you need luck, but that can drain the life out of you because you just feel as if you're never going to catch them.
Yeah, but I think they should have used they had a bad spin on that, because it's easier to chase, isn't it? Yeah, like, they've never once put all the pressure on Liverpool, kind of saying, oh, they can't afford to slip up. I think Klopp has done a good job of just managing the media.
Yeah, they have, and I think Liverpool have probably played before Man City a lot of the time, and that's probably it's enabled to heap the pressure on, you know, the fact that you play on the Saturday and sometimes City play on the Sunday. But then I think City played ahead of them a couple of weeks ago and they actually got beaten and they dropped points, so you know, these things even themselves out at the end of a season.
Yeah, it's a long way to go yet, lads. They were good last night, topped their group and through now to the next stage of the Champions League. But I thought Mo Salah was so interesting because it seemed like everything was going wrong for him, yet he was able to score a goal like that, the one that he did.
Yeah, the finish was absolutely outrageous. You know, it was such a tight angle, weaker side, defender running back towards the goal, and there was probably about 6 inches of a space that he could hit that he would actually score with, and he found the back of the net. So it's just trademark Liverpool, you know, you stay in a game for as long as you can, you just back those front three to go and score goals for you. And that proved to be the point. I would say that there was probably a bit of a nervy moment at half time when Napoli were winning. There was a chance for Salzburg down that end, and Haaland had that kind of a one-on-one with the keeper, and he hit the side netting, and I'd say people were starting to get a bit nervous. But there seems to be such a belief amongst the squad that the players don't get nervous, that, you know, they just address situations as they happen. They back the team, they back the management, they back the players that they have, and they have confidence in themselves that they're going to go score goals. And why would you bet against that when you've got such a good defensive foundation in Van Dijk and Alisson in particular, and then you've got the likes of Arnold, Robertson, Keita, Salah, Firmino, Mane, somebody's going to score a goal.
But it doesn't seem like, you're speaking at that moment, they don't leave the pressure get to them. You know, like, they could be in the Europa League. It would be a disaster for Liverpool, wouldn't it, if, you know, it didn't go that way?
Yeah, it would. And I guess the important thing about that squad is that the majority of them now have reached 2 Champions League finals, and they know how to get the job done. And there seems to be that aura of confidence. And actually, the confidence seems to have elevated itself to a new level this year because of how well they're going in the league. So they just seem as if they're going to get the job done. They know how they play the game. They're so dynamic going forward. But what they probably don't get credit for is actually when teams sit back, they seem to find ways of opening them up too, which Man City have sort of struggled with. But, you know, if you're looking at the Champions League and you're talking about potential winners, when you look at Liverpool and you look at Barcelona at the moment, it's hard to look past those two.
Yeah. But isn't it great, Paul, that it's so exciting?
Stop it.
I'm a Chelsea fan.
The play is so exciting though. Like, you know, even if you're not a Liverpool fan, like, it's kind of compelling to watch because it's unpredictable. You know, you're not, like, they're playing that type of football where it is edge of seat. Like, there are nervy moments. And then if you're a Liverpool fan and they get a late goal and they win, it's great. But at the same time, it is entertaining. And Klopp has always said that. He wants people to come back, like, to watch the game again. And he's doing that.
Yeah, I would 100% agree with you. And probably Man City play a different style of football in regards to that. It's so possession based, it's almost death by possession, and Liverpool are to the same extent, but Liverpool probably have a few more different ways of hurting you. And if you look at one of the goals last night, Jordan Henderson has just spun a ball in behind, and that's often the best ball. You know, you have to pick out the one that's going to hurt the opposition most, and that doesn't necessarily let you pass over 5-10 yards. They also have the willing runners in behind, and when teams go at pace and they're dynamic, it gets you off the edge of the seat, and they just seem to have that in abundance, whether it's through their fullbacks or whether it's through their midfielders or their front three. There's just so much strength.
That front three, everyone talks about it, and obviously, like, Salah could have had a hat-trick last night. Mm-hmm. He had plenty of opportunities, but you've been there. Like, that angle he scores off, is that virtually impossible, what he did?
It is, because of physics, you know. Mm. You're touching the ball around the keeper and all your momentum, all your body weight is going away from the goal, and it's just pure instinct. That's all you can put it down to, is pure instinct, that he knows where the goal is, because he hardly has a moment to lift his head, that he's literally just trying to execute as best he can.
Would a goal like that lift his confidence then? You know, if he said, you know, I should have scored more tonight, but then he looks back at that and he kind of goes, you know, shows I'm a different class.
I don't think that front three lack confidence, and that purely, if you take away the goals, purely the freedom that they play with when they step out in the pitch, it seems as if no opposition, no stadium phases them in any way, shape or form, and that has probably epitomised everything that Liverpool have done in the last 12-24 months.
Jordan Henderson was captain's performance last night, and afterwards Van Dijk spoke about how he doesn't get enough credit outside the team, that inside the team, you know, inside their setup, that he's such a vital part of everything that they do. Why do you think he doesn't get enough credit?
Probably because he's not as pretty on the eye in regards to his playing style. So, you know, if you think about centre midfielders in the last 10-15 years who have been so successful, you're probably talking about the likes of a Gerrard, a Lampard, who are technically incredible, but that doesn't always constitute what a good player is. Like, sometimes, and why Henderson is so pivotal in that squad is because he's the one that drives everybody on. He's the one that seems to set the standard. You look in the first 5, 10, 15 minutes, he's winning tackles, he's driving people, he's trying to play forward, and passing isn't at the same level of a Busquets or a Rakitic or a Frankie de Jong, but what he does give you, he gives you heart, determination, and when you couple that sometimes with the Anfield crowd, somebody who's willing to drive you on can sometimes spur everybody else on. So he's almost that, if you're talking about, you know, culture, and you're talking about the team and the glue, Jordan Henderson is probably the glue that keeps everybody together.
We're joined on the line by Fergal Brennan, a sports journalist, Merseyside. Fergal, would you agree that Jordan Henderson is the glue that keeps Liverpool together?
Yeah, I think that's quite a fair comment, really. When you think of his performances and the way that he plays, I think some of the points that were mentioned there before, in that he might not always catch the eye with a great pass or a goal or something like that in the way other midfielders do. But what he does offer is, and he's a real organiser on the field, and I think that's key for why Jurgen Klopp's such a big fan of him. And to call him the glue in the team, I don't think is far wrong. He offers a lot of leadership, a lot of organisation. He's able to implement the manager's plan. Obviously, it's a famous comment that's been made about many midfielders over the years, that's what they're able to do. They're able to be the manager's voice on the pitch, and I think that's what Henderson has been so far this season. And a lot of Liverpool fans are starting to change their opinion from being on the fence about him to being huge supporters of him now.
Fergal, it's his work rate though, isn't it? Like, off the ball, and that's what Liverpool are known for, but he's the driver of that.
He is, and particularly when you watch them live, and at Anfield you've got a very good seat from the press box, you see exactly how he measures, how much he has to run, and particularly the way that Liverpool play with fullbacks that are getting forward almost for the whole 90 minutes. He's constantly getting across to cover Robertson on one side or Alexander-Arnold on the other, and that's, as you say, that comes down to the work rate and the determination of him, and that he puts himself in such a selfless position of, well, I might not be getting on the end of a cross into the box and scoring a winning goal, but I know that if a team breaks on us, I have to be covering at right back or covering at left back. And that's absolutely vital, not only just to the way Liverpool play, but to a team that's pushing for major honours, as Liverpool are. To have someone in the team that's willing to sacrifice themselves on such a regular basis is an enormous thing.
Fergal, we know that there's a hectic few weeks coming up now for Liverpool, but like, what are people expecting from them now in the next few weeks?
I think when you speak to supporters, they're very pragmatic about this. Obviously, they want them to go out and win every game and win every competition, but I think if you were to ask Liverpool supporters to be honest, and I do speak to them on a daily basis, they're quite clear that the league is the absolute priority, and then after that, it will be Champions League. Obviously, you mentioned the situation with the fixture pile-up and the Carabao Cup and the Club World Cup. Yes, that's on the list of priorities, the checklist for December. But in terms of priorities, it's the league and then the Champions League. The Carabao Cup, we're going to see an almost, not even under-23s team, maybe even an under-19s team sent out at Villa Park because of the crossover with the Club World Cup the day after. And I think that's the mentality going into what's going to be a really, really packed run of games between now and the end of 2019.
But Fergal, just looking at how he's rotating his squad, like he left out Mane at the weekend and then he puts in such a performance, that will give the whole squad a lift, isn't it? That they know, I'm going to get a bit of time off, but when I come in, I have to give it my all.
And that's absolutely right. And that's absolutely crucial how Klopp manages the situation. There was a lot of surprise with some of the players that he left out for the Merseyside derby game. And then they ended up scoring 5 goals and comfortably beating their local rivals. Then, as you say, there was players left out for the Salzburg game last night. And someone like Mane, who didn't play at the weekend, then comes back in and scores and plays so well. And how Klopp manages that will probably decide how Liverpool end the season. If he's able to keep players motivated, as he has done with Mane, leaving him out for the Bournemouth win at the weekend to then bring him back in for Salzburg, demonstrates that he's got that balance right now. He's got that balance absolutely right of ensuring that his key players know just how important they are, but that there has to be rest worked into the schedule, particularly now at such a busy period.
Fergal, just on to Everton, we know that they're keeping their options open at the moment and there's lots of names being thrown around from Carlo Ancelotti to Unai Emery. Have you any insight into who could possibly be taking the reins there?
One piece of information that I do have for definite, there was a press conference called earlier this afternoon. Duncan Ferguson will be in charge for the Manchester United game this weekend. The club have confirmed that, which indicates that they want to give themselves a few more days. Emery, as you mentioned, has kind of emerged as a bit of a bolt from the blue, as it were. I personally don't really see that happening. I think given the fact that things ended so badly for him at Arsenal, I think we'll see a little bit of a period for him being out of a job as he looks to kind of gather himself and decide on his next project. I think I mentioned on the show a couple of weeks back before the Merseyside derby about David Moyes, and I still think for me he's the primary target. I think what Everton have is a situation whereby they can have had a conversation with him and said, look, you're an option, albeit potentially a fail-safe option. As long as you're happy with that, which he appears to be, we're going to pursue other targets, keeping you in mind. It's a difficult one to kind of not make Moyes feel unwanted, but given the situation that they're in and the calibre of other managers being mentioned, I think it's the way they're looking to go forward. But in terms of the names that are being mentioned, he's still the one for me. Rafa Benitez and Vitor Pereira, who are both managing in China at the moment, have collectively ruled themselves out. So Moyes is still the front runner for a permanent basis, but there's a growing clamour within some supporters for Ferguson. I think if he gets a big result against United this weekend, we could potentially see those noises growing a little bit more.
Paul, would you think they would support him? Like Duncan Ferguson, it was brilliant to watch him, a guy that, you know, like he nearly headered every ball, he kicked every, seen him on the touchline.
Hugged every ball boy.
Yeah, he did, but it was nearly unfair on him in ways. You know, it's a big, big role.
It is, and obviously there's going to be a strong affiliation there with the fans at Everton. But is he going to be the man that's going to take that job to bring Everton forward? My instinct will tell me probably not. What he will probably bring is he'll get them back to basics and probably get them pressing and playing a game that Everton fans expect. And that's probably been missing in the last couple of weeks under Marco Silva. So they probably need somebody to come in who's going to complement Duncan Ferguson as potentially a number two. But I think it requires somebody probably a bit more senior with a bit more experience to manage the level of investment they've had in that squad and to get them back to where they want to be.
There's a lot of managers out there as well, and some of the names that have been thrown around, they're big names, so it's, you can kind of see their point of view with the David Moyes as well, to give someone else a try. Fergal, just on, I'm saying Troy twice here, because yeah. I'm going to go on to Troy Parrott.
You've got him on the brain. Is he going to play?
Do you think we might see him tonight?
I think we'll see him at some stage. Mourinho was quite candid in his press conference before the Munich game tonight, saying that he's a big fan of him. Obviously, we saw the scenes at the end of the Burnley game at the weekend where he gave him the match ball after he got his Premier League debut. I would be very, very confident we'll see him at some stage in the Bayern Munich game tonight. Whether or not he'll start still remains to be seen. There's still probably about another half an hour before the team news gets announced. I would err on the side of caution that he's probably going to come off the bench. I'd love to see him start. I really, really would. But I just think, as much as this is a dead rubber and Tottenham are already through and Munich are already through, Mourinho is it's not in Mourinho's nature to take too many risks, even though he probably knows he has to give some of the young players at the club a chance if he wants to extend his time there. But I'd love to see Troy start. I think the likelihood is we'll probably see him come on in the second half.
Okay, Fergal, we will be keeping an eye on that and we will update all of our listeners if he does get that start. Fergal, thank you very much for joining us.
Brilliant, no problem. Thank you.
Game on.
On 2FM. Weekdays from 6.